Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah lived, almost 800 years before Jesus. He was a great, great man, very possibly a part of a noble family. He was very educated. His book of 66 chapters is quoted 65 times in the New Testament, more than any other prophet. 20 times he's mentioned by name in the New Testament. He has more messianic promises or prophecies than any other prophet. God called this man, and he shares with us his calling in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse number 1. It said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." I want to preach tonight on the subject, "Your perspective defines your perception." Your perspective defines your perception. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. There's a famous legend that comes from India. It's a legend about 6 blind men that went out to see the elephant. Now, how do blind men see an elephant? Well, there's only one way. It's to use their other senses. One of the blind men went out to see the elephant. He ran right into it. And immediately he said, "Well," he said, "an elephant is like a wall." Another one ran into the elephant's leg. He reached around and grabbed him around the knee, and he said, "No." He said, "An elephant is like a tree." And another one was walking by, tail swiped him, and he reached up, and the elephant, he said, "No." He said, "An elephant's like a rope." One of them got out in the front, and big old trunk reached out and grabbed him and wrapped around him and drug him over. And he said, "Wait, wait, wait." He said, "An elephant is like a snake." He got a big old his hand over the ivory, and he said, "Why, all of you are wrong." He said, "An elephant is like a spear." And one of them got slapped in the face with an ear, and he said, "You're all wrong." He said, "An elephant's like a fan." So all of them went to see the elephant, and nobody saw the whole thing, but everybody got a part of it. So your perspective, where you are, your point of view defines your perception. Each one of them was in a different place. They found and discovered a different part, and to them that was what an elephant was. Amen. I want you to know tonight that God is a many-faceted God. There's more to God than you've ever started to understand. If you think you've got God figured out, you're just beginning. Amen. He will exceed all of your expectations. Whatever you think He is, He's far more than that. Whatever He's already been, He's more than that. You've experienced, you have not yet scratched the surface as to what God really is to you. He's more than that. King Uzziah died. His name meant, "The Lord is my strength." He started ruling in Israel when he was 16 years of age. And he reigned in Judah for 52 years. That's a long time for a king to reign. He sought very strong. And he was prosperous. He was a great builder. He established water courses that are still in Jerusalem to this day. He built towers, and he built walls of protection, and he built fortresses, and he fortified the kingdom. He made it a safer place. He made it a better place. There were many great things that Uzziah did. And the Bible said that he did marvelously until he was strong. Until he got to thinking, I can do this by myself. He got lifted up and he became proud. And the Bible said that was when he began to have his problems. Amen. Hallelujah. But when he was strong, the Bible said, he lifted up to his destruction. Amen. Somehow we've got to always remember that it's God that's doing all of this. Amen. Somebody said the rooster got up and jumped up on the fence post, reared back his red-combed head, and crowed just as loud as he could crow. And all of a sudden, the sun popped up over the horizon, and he saw the light come on in the farmhouse. The animals started stirring in the barn. Things started moving around, and the rooster got to thinking, look at what I've done here. Look at what I've done. I got it all started. Amen. One day he got up late, and guess what? The sun was already up. The light was already on in the barn house. The animals were already stirring. It wasn't the rooster after all. Sometimes we can get to thinking, you just can't do without me around here. I don't know what's going to happen when I'm gone. Let me tell you what. The sun's still going to rise. Amen. And the water's still going to flow. And the planets are still going to be in their orbit. And everything's still going to be like it was. Amen. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with me. And it doesn't have a whole lot to do with you. But it has everything to do with the Lord of glory. Amen. Kings can die and be removed. And nations may shake. In a little while, everybody's nervous about who's going to take his place. God's still on the throne. Bible said that finally Uzziah did something that was God himself had to send judgment. He decided that he would offer incense to the Lord, and he was a king, but he was not a priest. And that was not his job. God defines certain realms of responsibility that he expects. And even a king, when he stepped across that boundary and decided, I will offer incense like the priest. And God said, that's not your calling. The Bible tells us that day forward, he was stricken with leprosy. And King Uzziah died in isolation. And he died a leper. Royal? Yes. But he died a leper. A king till the day he died. Died a leper. There are certain things we must respect, and God help us to have respect. Don't lose that. Don't humility. Amen. Don't lose humility. Peter spoke of some people. He said, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Amen. I've heard people tear down godly people. You be careful who you talk about. You be careful what you say. I said this before, I'm going to say it again. Every last one of you today that are in the body of Christ, you are the body of Christ. And you are the bride of Christ. And when you speak evil of your brothers and your sisters, you're speaking evil of the bride of Christ. You're speaking evil of the body of Christ. And God does not take that lightly. Think before you speak. Before you decide to gossip about one of your brothers or sisters, you better think about what you're saying. Because that's the bride of Christ. And that's the body of Christ. You may not like what they're doing. You may not understand what they're doing. But that did not make you a judge. And God put them in the body. You did not. Maybe you wouldn't have chosen that individual, but God did. Maybe you don't like the way they're... They may be struggling right now. They may be having a hard time. They may be barely hanging on. But bless your heart, they don't need your criticism. They need your prayer. They need your understanding. They need your encouragement. Amen. My, I hope God will help us with that. If you want to talk about somebody, don't come to me. I don't want to hear it. If you want to talk about somebody, you go talk to the Lord about it. You go tell him how bad they are, and you see what he starts pointing out about you. You see what happens when he says, wait a minute here, and he turns a spotlight on you. Amen. Well, I think probably got enough of that. Amen. So the king's dead. Israel is nervous. A new king is ascending to the throne. And nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Everybody's nervous. We're in a presidential election. I'm nervous. But I like Isaiah's perspective. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. You see, that's the perspective of the church. Regardless of what's going on the outside, you've got to remember that there's also the Lord. You may not like what the doctor said, but you've got to remember that there's also the Lord. You may not like what the lawyer said, but you've got to remember that there's also the Lord. You may not like the way things are going, and maybe you lost your job, but there's also the Lord. Amen. He said, I saw also the Lord. And if you haven't seen him lately, let me just remind you how he was when Isaiah saw him, and things have not changed. He said, I saw him, and he was high and lifted up. He was above everything. Amen. There's a song that said, he sits high, but he looks low, and he guides my feet everywhere I go. When I don't understand, I have a Father. I have a Father. I have a Father. And you may not understand what you're going through. You may not see clearly. You may not know what tomorrow holds. But I'm telling you today that he sits high, but he looks low. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. He said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. He said he was sitting. Everybody say sitting. Sitting. He was sitting upon a throne.
Amen. I want you to get see God here tonight. You know what He's doing right now, Brother Neil? He's sitting on the throne. There's an election coming up in a few days. And people are nervous. But you know what God's doing? He's sitting on the throne. Iran is threatening to abolish and destroy the nation of Israel. And they're rattling swords and they're doing everything they can. And they're threatening and they're building atomic or nuclear weapons. And all that's going on. You know what God's doing? He's sitting on the throne. Amen. Morality is falling in the ditch. And every day it seems like it's gaining in the world. But you know what God's doing? He's just sitting on the throne. Amen. He's nervous. He's not concerned. He's not twitching. He's not pacing. He's not wringing His hands. Amen. Because He's on the throne. Hallelujah. And you know what He's saying? He said, it's just about ready. And when sin comes in like a flood, the Lord will rise up a standard against it, the Bible said. And the Scripture said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Amen. God's not worried tonight. He's already paid the price. He's already shed the blood. He's already got the gospel in the world. And He said the darker the night, amen, the more desperate people get, the more hungry they will become to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's just sitting on the throne. I hope that helps you tonight. I don't know about you, but I'd be nervous if God was nervous. That would be a scary thing. Somebody said back in the Depression, there was a tongues and interpretation, but I don't believe it was from the Lord. Somebody said in a tongue and interpretation, thus saith the Lord, times are hard. Yea, times are very hard. You're not going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it. You know how I know that wasn't from the Lord? Two ways. First of all, He's already promised that you're going to make it. And secondarily, we know that He's already made it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's still on the throne. Amen. And then the Scripture said, and His train filled the temple. That is, the flowing of His robe. I've read commentators. I don't know how much of that's true, but they say some victories. Every time they won a battle, they added a little bit to the train. That represented their victories. That represented their glory. Amen. And so if that's true, what He's saying is, I got so many victories. I've won so many battles. We've won so many wars. There's not even room to contain my glory. It fills the temple. It fills the heavens. It fills the earth. Amen. God's glory is everywhere. And so Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord. And you know what, Israel? It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. No matter who gets elected come November, it's going to be all right. Amen. What I mean by all right is that God's in control. Whoever it is, whoever you want, it's not really going to matter. God's going to wrap this thing up when He gets ready to wrap it up. Amen. Until then, let me tell you something. His grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Time may come when we're going to have to quit depending on the United States government. You know, our money says in God we trust, but I'm not sure if it's Him or the money it's printed on.
Well, we know that we're more than $16 trillion in debt, and I don't know what that number means. It's not any number I've ever seen. Amen. If they're depending on me to pay it back, y'all going to have to quit kicking or start kicking a whole lot more than you're doing. We're not going to make it. Amen. I don't think there's enough here in the whole bunch to take care of something like that. Amen. And that's just in the last few years. That's a whole bunch of money. And what's scary is they hadn't learned to quit spending it yet. Man, they just keep saying, well, you know, this person needs that, so let's print some money and give it to them. If I'd printed some money and gave it to somebody, that'd put me in jail. I mean, if I printed money to pay my taxes with, that'd put me in jail. They don't want me anywhere near a printing press. But it doesn't seem to bother them. Well, anyhow, it's a scary situation. But I just want you to know he's in control. You don't have to worry about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what if this whole thing comes crashing down? Well, it may. Amen. Gas is higher than... You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know. I hadn't kept up with it the last few days, but last time I heard gasoline was about $92 a barrel, and it's, what, I think $3.39, the cheapest place I saw today. And you know what? A few years ago, it got up to $4 here, even in, or $3.99 here in Athens, and gasoline at that time was $140 a barrel. So why, when it's gone down nearly $50 a barrel, are we still paying almost what we did when it was $50 a barrel more? Now, I went to school and didn't do real good math, but what math I know, that doesn't figure real well. Somehow it's a little off there. I don't really understand that, but that's the way it is. And if I want to keep driving, guess what? I'm just going to keep paying what they ask. And if I don't want to do that, I can just park my car. Get me a hay burner, I guess. Some kind. May have to. You know what Jesus did? He walked. We're not any better than he are. He was, are we? I reckon walking wouldn't hurt most of us. Isn't this fun? I'm sorry. I'm so messed up. I got to get back to what I'm supposed to be doing up here. Amen. But he said, I saw the Lord. And he was sitting on the throne. And there's just one throne. And wasn't anybody else up there. He just saw the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's high and he's lifted up and his train fills the temple, he said. Amen. And then he said, and above it stood the seraphims. Everybody say the seraphims. Amen. What are seraphims? They're an order of angel. And these particular beings, he describes them. He said each one had six wings. With two of his wings, he covered his face. That is humility in the presence of the Lord. And with two, he covered his feet. His lowliness in the presence of the Lord. And with two wings, the other two wings, the Bible said he did fly. And they started singing this song. Y'all want to help me sing it here tonight? All right, now listen over here. You're going to say, holy, holy, holy. Can you get that? Everybody try it. Just practice. Holy, holy, holy. And this group over here, you're going to say, is the Lord God of hosts. You ready?
is the Lord God of hosts. Now we're going to change it up. And then you're going to say, holy, holy, holy. And then you're going to say, is the Lord God of hosts. You ready? All right. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And that's the song of heaven. Amen. Yeah. That's called the Trihagion. Holy, holy, holy. You know, in English, we would say holy, holier, holiest. Great, greater, greatest. Those are our superlatives. But in Hebrew, they don't do it that way. If they want to make somebody greater, they just keep saying the same word. He's holy, and he's holy, and he's holy, and that's as great as he can get. Holy, holy, holy. It means he's the most holy. It means you can't get any holier than that. It means you can't get any greater than that. That's the seven. You know, John, of those same beings on the Isle of Patmos almost 1,000 years later. And you know what they were doing? They were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And when we get to heaven, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible said the whole earth, everybody say the whole earth, is full of his glory. Now how can that be? It depends on your perspective. Some people are sinners and all they can see is sin. Some people are judgmental and all they can see is sin. Some people in the church, all they can see is sin. Woo, I'm meddling now. Amen. My goodness, I got to quit this and preach it a little bit. Amen. Depends on your perspective. Depends on your perspective. Amen. But you see, that's all you're seeing is sin. That's your perspective. It's all you can see. Just sin. But I want to tell you something. There's another perspective. And these seraphim are looking from way up above. They're looking down from the throne of God. And all they can see is the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. All they can see is the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. You get high enough and everything else disappears. You get locked in on God's holiness. And all you can see is God's glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember, and I used this not long ago, but let me use it again. First time I ever got on an airplane, McAllen, Texas. I was flying to Salt Lake City for the general conference. It was raining, proverbial cats and dogs. And it was cloudy, and it was rainy. And I thought, man, it's going to be like this all the way to Salt Lake City. We got on that airplane, we took off, and we pierced through the clouds. And just a little while, we broke through the clouds. We were up on the top, and I couldn't see a raindrop anywhere. All I saw was the top of the clouds and clear blue sky as far as you could see. That was a whole different perspective that I had never seen before. But I'm telling you today, if you can see from God's perspective, it changes everything. If you see your enemy through God's eyes, it'll change your perspective. It'll change your emotions. It'll change your feelings. And instead of praying vengeance on them, you'll be asking God mercy upon them.
You'll not run for their destruction, but you'll be praying for their salvation. If you can get in God's perspective, it'll change everything. Hey, the church needs to get a new perspective about this whole thing. We need to see revival from God's perspective. One fella was sent by his company to an island. He was a shoe salesman. He went to the island. He looked around. Nobody wore shoes. So he sent a telegram back, and he said, "I'm coming home. People don't wear shoes over here." They sent another man to the island, and he went over, and he immediately sent a fax back, and he said, "Clean out the warehouse. Send me everything you got." He said, "Ain't nobody over here got a pair of shoes, and I'm going to put a pair on everybody." Depends on your perspective. Amen. Some people saying, "Folks don't want to hear this message anymore. Ain't nobody hungry for the gospel anymore. Nobody wants the Holy Ghost anymore." But hey, if you'll see it from God's perspective and find yourself somewhere in a closet of prayer until your burden is stirred and your heart is broken and you see it from God's perspective. And you'll say, "Oh, everybody ought to know. Everybody deserves an opportunity to hear the gospel." Your perspective defines your perception. Amen. So the seraphim, all they saw was glory. They said the whole earth is full of glory. Woo! And you know what? That's true. There's not anywhere you can go on the planet Earth that there's not Holy Ghost. God is omnipresent. There is nowhere that you can go that there's not Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I don't recommend this, but I have known people to get under Holy Ghost conviction sitting on the bar stool. Now, how'd that happen? Because the Holy Ghost got a hold of them in a place where you would think the Holy Ghost wouldn't go. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost has got something better than Scotch Guard. It don't have to worry about stains. It's so holy. It's so pure. It's so perfect. It can make the unholy holy. It can make the unclean clean. It can make the unpure pure. That's how great the Holy Ghost is. Amen. I know churches today that were started in VFW halls. Yeah. You know what that is, don't you? That's where they drink on Saturday night. And pastors and precious saints would go in there early Sunday morning and they'd take out the beer bottles. And you could still smell that stench. You just can't hardly get rid of it. But you know what? They'd get the keyboard to play it. Amen. And they'd start singing, "There's power in the blood." Amen. They'd start singing the songs of Zion. Amen. And somebody'd come in that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And before the service was over in that unholy place, somebody received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because God can make the unholy holy. That's what He did to you, and that's what He did to me. He took us at our worst, and He made us our best. Because God specializes in taking unclean and making it clean. Did He not tell Peter, "Don't you call what I have cleansed common or unclean"? You need to tell yourself that. And you need to tell the devil that. When he comes jerking your chain, trying to get you to turn around, pointing out your faults and your flaws and your failures, you need to say, listen up here, Slewfoot. Amen. Don't you dare call what God has cleansed common or unclean. I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I live in Christ. Hallelujah. And He has made me clean. Amen. So, your perspective determines your perception. The Bible said that the very post, those mighty pillars that held up the temple, they literally were shaking and quaking at the power of the presence of God in that place. You remember what happened? The Bible said they had an apostolic prayer meeting in the book of Acts, and it said the house wherein they were was shaken. Hallelujah. You know what we need? We need one of those kind of prayer meetings here. Amen. Praise the Lord. When this place gets shaken. Amen. Hallelujah. The place was filled with smoke that represented the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship was there. I've seen God's Shekinah cloud. You've seen it. Some of you have seen that. Even you've been in places where there's worship and suddenly there'll just be like a fog kind of comes in. And that's literally the presence of God becomes visible. Amen. And you actually can see the presence of the Lord in some places. And that's what He made. He said, I want you to see my presence. It's so thick. Isn't that what happened? The Bible said on the day they dedicated the tabernacle, the temple, that the Spirit of the Lord came down so thick that they couldn't even see what they were doing. God revealed His glory to them that this is my will, this is what you're doing, and it pleases me. And God's presence came in such a mighty way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me show you something. I'm going to hurry along here. Thank you for your time, but in the fifth chapter, one chapter before this, Isaiah's preaching. And he gets to woeing, folks. Amen. Listen to this. Verse number 8, he says, woe unto them. Everybody say, woe unto them. Woe. That join house to house. And then verse 11, he said, woe unto them. Rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink. And then verse number 18, he said, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. And then verse number 20, he said, woe unto them that call the evil good and the good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And then verse 21, he said, what? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In verse 22, he said, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Amen. But then in the sixth verse, after seeing everything that he saw, verse number 5, he said, woe is me! Made a difference, didn't it? He got his eyes off of them. And he saw me. When you correct your perspective, that's what you'll do. You'll quit looking at others and you'll start looking at you. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. You see, when you get your perspective right, well, Isaiah said, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know why I said that? He said, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And when you see Him in His purity and in His righteousness, I promise, the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Things in heaven, angels, things on earth, human beings, things under the earth, demonic spirits, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your perspective will change your perception. He said, "It's me, Lord." And then he said, "I'm unclean." The word unclean means I'm ruined. I'm destroyed. I'm cut off. I'm unworthy. And an angel flew over to the altar, took some tongs, got a coal, brought it down, touched his lips. Repentance sometimes hurts. Amen. Sometimes, anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it hurts to repent. Some things we're so fond of, it's hard to let go of. Amen. I think one of the reasons people don't like to repent is because it's painful. We got to really look at ourselves. We have to really see ourselves. We have to really fess up. We have to really get honest. We have to be willing to change. It hurts. Painful. It's like a hot tongue. Hot coal touching your lips, but it cleanses and it purifies, burns away all of the uncleanness and the impurities, makes you pure. Amen. And then the Bible, then the Lord asked a question. He said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord. Send me. I'll go." You see, repentance takes all the reluctance out of you. When God gets through with a person, you know, you understand something, that it's not really about you. Oftentimes, when God asks us to do something, the first thing we look at is our abilities and our inabilities. And when we can't find ourselves measuring up, we say, "God, I can't. I'm not able." He knows that. He's not asking you to do more than you can do. Amen. All He needs is somebody that can talk, and almost everybody here can do that. Amen. He just needs a witness. He just needs a body. He just needs somebody that's alive and breathing. Amen. I had a friend one time, and she was single, and people said, "Well, what kind of man are you looking for?" She said, "Well, breathing would be good." She wasn't setting her sights real high. Breathing would be good. God needs you to be breathing. Amen. One time he didn't even have that, did he? He spoke to a valley of dry bones. Amen. And they came together, and he put breath in them, and they became a mighty army. Amen. What I'm saying tonight is you know, our perspective affects our perception. Amen. If you can see the glory of the Lord, it changes everything. There was a man by the name of Saul from the city of Tarsus. He was very religious, and he was in his religion. He was very sincere. He was very successful. He was very fervent. As a matter of fact, he
He resisted anybody that resisted his religion. And if you didn't buy into his religion, then as far as he was concerned, he could just do away with you. And there was a young sect of people called Christians, and he was determined that he was going to wipe them out. He was arresting them and persecuting them and putting them in prison. And he was on his way to Damascus with orders to get a whole new bunch. And while he was on that journey, the Bible said suddenly at noonday, when the sun was at the apex, something outshone the sun, knocked him off the back of the beast of burden onto the ground. And all he could see was the brilliant light. And he lifted up his eyes and he lifted up his voice. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Amen. He told him what to do. He said, "You get up. You go into the city. You go to the house of one called Ananias, Simon. And he said, "You stay there, and I'll send somebody." Went 3 days. He lay there and blinded by light. 3 days he lay there in the quandary if he'd ever get his sight back again. Amen. God sent a man by the name of Ananias to his house. He said, "I want you to go pray for a man called Saul of Tarsus." Ananias said, "Wait a minute, isn't he the one that's been putting Christians in jail?" The Lord said, "Yeah, that's him. But I got his attention. I've been talking to him." Amen. And if God's been talking to somebody, it's all right. Things are going to be different. Their perspective has changed. Amen. He got him off of his high horse and laid him down low. And the Lord said, "From this perspective, I want you to perceive something, Saul. That I'm in control here." Amen. And so he said, "You go pray for him." And he said, "And I want you to pray that he'll receive his sight. He'll receive the Holy Ghost." And then Ananias comes in. There's Saul of Tarsus. He lays his hands on him. He prays for him. His eyes are open. He receives the Holy Ghost. He baptizes him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And Saul of Tarsus is forever changed. He becomes the first and perhaps the greatest missionary of the church. But I would challenge you today, especially you young people, why don't you try to outdo him? I said, why don't you try to outdo him? You got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why don't you get out there and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Praise God. Hallelujah. You get in a place of prayer and say, "God, you did great things with Saul of Tarsus, but we have 7 billion people on the face of the planet Earth today, and the need is greater than it's ever been. God, why don't you use somebody like me?" God's not a respecter of persons. You're not going to write any books of the Bible. We know that. It's finished. You write any books of the Bible, you better pray through, because you got a hold of a deceptive spirit somewhere. This thing's finished. It's full. That's all that's going to be written in it. The end. He said if you add to it, the curses of the book will be added to you. So don't add anything to it. Amen. Don't change it. Just leave it alone. Amen. But that doesn't mean that you can't be a great missionary. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a great mission. Amen. And you know what? You don't have to go to Colombia to do it. You don't have to go to Asia to do it. You don't have to go to Israel or Iraq to do it. You can start in Athens, Texas. Amen. You can start with your next door neighbor.
You can start in the school that you attend. You can start on the job where you work. You can start in your own neighborhood. Anybody know anybody that needs the Holy Ghost? That's where you start. Your perspective changes your perception. Amen. Saul saw Jesus, changed him. One of the greatest miracles in the entire Bible is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus that became Paul the Apostle. You talk about a change. When he saw Jesus, it changed everything. Amen. And you and I have had that experience. Amen. It changed us, didn't it? My advice tonight is keep the change. Keep the change. Don't change back. Keep the change. Amen. Don't forget where you brought us from. And don't forget those that are still there that need to be brought out. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Our perspective defines our perception. Amen. How do you see Jesus tonight? How do you see Him? There are some that just want to deny Him and yet they can't. No matter how hard they try, He's there at every turn. This political administration has done more to try to remove Christianity from America than all preceding ones. They hadn't been able to do it. Not completely, but they're trying real hard. Amen. They're taking them out of the classroom. And then they wonder why there's trouble in our schools. One of our pastors some years ago pastored a very prominent church in a large city, and he went to the town council and he said, "We want to move our church." They were kind of in the inner city, literally downtown, and he said, we kind of want to move out a little bit, you know, where things are better, move out to a better neighborhood. And the city fathers said, "Pastor, please don't do that. If there's any way, you stay where you are." They said statistics prove that when a church leaves an area and moves to another area, that place where the church was, crime will increase. It's as if darkness rushes to fill the void. And crime rises. As if the devil says, "You've had this place long enough. Now it's mine again." I believe that. I believe that every time a milestone of Christianity's removed somewhere in the regions of hell, there's rejoicing and darkness quickly rises to fill that void. That's why you and I have to be on the march tonight. We've got to be about the Master's business. We can't leave any voids anywhere. We can't vacate any ground that we've ever gained. We got to hold it. I said we have to hold it. Amen. When we push back the darkness, no matter what it takes to stand there, you've got to stand. Don't you back up. Because darkness will fill that void. Amen. We've seen some things. God's promised some things. God's done some things. Let's not lose that. Let's cling to it. Let's run to it. Amen. Let's gain more ground. Amen. I hear the Lord tonight saying, "Who will go? Who will go? Who will go?" And I wonder, if he could get an answer from somebody here tonight. I wonder if there's an Isaiah somewhere in the house. I wonder if somebody has been touched by the Holy Ghost. Somebody's been stirred enough that said, "Dear my Lord, use me." If you need a voice, here's my voice. If you need some hands, here's my hands. If you need a heart to love, love through my heart. If you need some feet to go, mine are willing. Anybody be willing to give that to Jesus tonight? Amen. I think this altar ought to be full of people. I think the front of this building ought to be full of people tonight. People said, "Just give me a chance, Jesus. I'll go. I want to go." Please use me this week, tomorrow, tonight. Use me. Use me. Jesus, use me. Hallelujah. I saw the Lord. His heart lifted up.
Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say. My storage is empty, and I am available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say to. Use me, Lord, to show storage is empty,
yes.
And I am available to you.
Here I am, Jesus.
You gave me my hand to reach down to man.
My strength.
Show him your
my
love
weakness.
And your perfect
good
plan. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners. Why can't I wipe away their tears? Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say to. Use me, Lord. Oh, my storage is empty, and I am available to you.
Hallelujah. Help
us. I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say to. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, oh, my storage is empty and I am available to you. You gave me my hand to reach out to men to show. I can hear your voice so clear. I can hear the cries of sinners. Why can't I wipe away their tears? Lord,
Yes.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yeah. I give myself away. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak to me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use any, Lord, you can use me.
Take my heart.
Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet.
Touch my heart,
Lord. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hand, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, if
you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hand,
Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Jesus, I love you
because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. You can. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Not because I've been so faithful, not because I've been so true. You've always been there for me to provide my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there in all my pain, guiding my footsteps, my shelter from the rain. It was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing.
Jesus, I love you.
Because you can. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you because you can. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Oh, you are the joy of my salvation. You are the you can. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there.
couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you, because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you, because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you, because you care, because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you, because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you.
I start to smile.